Sunday the 27th of October 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Christ in John. Sermon title, The Healer. Bible reading, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
John 5, verses 1 to 9. The Healing at the Pool. Some time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. This is the word of the Lord.
Folks, we're in our sermon series looking at who Jesus is through the Gospel of John. Last week, Chika spoke of Jesus as living water. You remember we all had cups of tea during the service. I'm speaking about healing, so you might imagine that we're going to have bandages passed out or those triangular things. And any or the state of the staff room, actually, at the minute with the coughs and colds, it might be Lemsips and Danus. But anyway, we're into this fantastic story. You remember last week the story of the woman at the well. The woman at the well. Hers isn't physical. The mat that she sits on is not a physical mat. The mat that she sits on is relational. She's struggling with relationships. She's ousted by the community, whatever it is. And Jesus comes and heals her. Turns her life around right there and right then. And then we're following straight on from that this week. This is a great story. It's a guy who has lost 38 years of his life to disease. 38 years of his life. You don't get 38 years for murder, do you? And actually, he might as well have committed a murder, because back in Jesus' day, disease was outcast. If you had a disease, you were not allowed to join in with your family or the rest of the society. You were put out, as it were. If you're ill, it's because you had sinned. Remember the story of the blind man, when the disciples asked, "Who has sinned, this man or his parents?" Superstition was rife back then. They didn't understand the fall of the world. Don't forget, we're in a time when they thought that the earth was flat. That's where we're going back to in terms of their understanding. And his ills are so bad that even when there's a chance of him getting healed, he's always too late. He never gets there on time. And I always think, you know, how stupid of him. Why is he so far away from the water's edge? If you never make it, you know, come and lie at the edge of the water, then all you've got to do is roll over. You just fall in, don't you? Anyway, there we go. 38 years. 38 years of practice. And he still hasn't got it. It's fair to say that he's a 100-to-1 outsider with the bookies for ever making it. Like the people that we've just seen in our film clip there, you wouldn't want to hire any of them. That guy with the rubbish tip on the dumpster, he's having a bad day, isn't he? Bless him. A no-hoper. Friends, God is not like that. Not so with God. Jesus came to show us the Father's heart. And the Father's heart is for the good, the bad, the ugly. It's for the marginalised, the hopeless, the estranged, the sick, the sinner, the lost sheep. The lost sheep. I'm getting to an age now where my parents are getting to an age. My dad's 84 and he suffers from what we call dementia. And dementia is not only about memory, it's about all sorts of things in life. And actually, his confidence in life is shrinking, and his ability to understand what's going on in life is shrinking. Very quick story. I was down with them because Mum looks after him, so I went down to help her out in my sabbatical. We go out shopping. Now, he's like, wherever she is, he wants to be there. And so she can't go out without him. And sometimes you just need to be able to go out, don't you? So I go down, I'm with them. We say, we're going to go shopping. Mum wants to buy a cardigan or something. I say, right, I'll have Dad with me. We'll go shopping. You go off on your own and we'll meet at Marks & Spencer's for lunch and whatever. And that's exactly what we did. She goes off shopping, la-di-da. Dad's fine with me. We go to Marks & Spencer's. It's always on the top floor, isn't it? Always on the top floor. So we go out the top floor and we meet. And there, and Mum's coming. And I said, Dad, Mum's going to be here. And sure enough, Mum was there and everything was fine. And we ate. She says to me, Martin, I still haven't bought my cardigan. I said, it's no sweat. I said, he and I will sit here chatting and having a sandwich, whatever. You crack on. So off she goes again. And we're sat there. Now, I haven't got a blue badge on my car. They have. And it suddenly dawns on me, when's the blue badge running out? Blue badge is going to run out in 5 minutes. It's going to take us 20 minutes to get there. We've got to go, Dad. We can't wait for Mum to come back. We've got to go. Right you are. By the grace of God, he realises it's something about a parking ticket. He understands a parking ticket. We've got to go. He's going to come with me. We get to the escalators. I go down the escalators. I look round to see if he's with me, and he's not. He's at the top of the escalators. So I turn round, and I'm now walking up the escalators, trying to coax my dad to come down the escalators, but he's not coming. Why are they so fast? I say, well, Dad, that's, and here I'm like this, and I say, well, Dad, that's how they go, and whatever. And he's not, and there's a crowd gathering now because everybody wants to come down the escalators and they can't because he, and it's just a nightmare. And eventually I say, Dad, would you prefer to go in the lift? By the grace of God, we go in the lift. As I'm coming up the stairs, one of the women says, that's your 10,000 steps for the day, isn't it? I said, thanks very much. Folks, when God looks at my dad, he doesn't see my dad like that. He sees a man with a brilliant mind. He got a scholarship into Cambridge University. Wasn't allowed to go, had to go out and earn money. But he got a scholarship into Cambridge. Used to play cricket, used to play tennis. That's the man that God sees. God sees through the fallen nature of this world that you and I live in. And if you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear that. We live in a broken, fallen world. And we see it in ourselves and in our family, in the people around us. God sees through that. He sees who we are in Christ, not who we are in this world. Because he knows that the world will twist us and break us, change us for the worse. Jesus looked at this man, and when he looked at this man, he didn't see a 38-year-old lying on a mat, diseased and whatever. He saw a fun-loving guy who could run and play football and dance with his family. The world had robbed the man of that. Not his sin. We know better than that these days. That's nonsense. It's the fall of the world. It's the sin of Adam and Eve. It's a story, but it tells us that evil is in the world and it affects us. And it was affecting him. And so here he sits all day on his mat, stretching out a hand, probably begging, I don't know. Watching a world go by that he can't join in with. He's just stuck on his mat, no way out. Someone described the man as being disabled, desperate, and disappointed. Folks, I think that we've all got mats. I wonder what mat you're sat on today. And it might be a physical mat, it might be illness, it might be something, illness in ourselves or illness in a loved one, it might be dementia or whatever it is, it might be something like that. But mats come in all sorts of guises. They come in emotional guises. And they come in relational guises, like the woman last week that we heard about. I know so many adults that sit on the naughty step. So many adults who are chained down by guilt from their past. Because they think that what they've done is so bad that not even God can forgive them. It's total nonsense. I know so many people who think that they're worthless because that's what other people have told them. It's just not true. Like the prison guard telling Nelson Mandela that he's never going to be free. God knew different. He knew different with Nelson Mandela. He knows different with you and with me too. Four things today that are so cunning that you could put a tail on them and call them a weasel, because together they're going to spell the word heal. And the first thing is this, hope. H, hope. Because there is always hope. Always hope. The longer you sit on the mat, the smaller your world gets. The weaker you become because you are isolated. The more tired you become because you're spending your energy, but you're getting nowhere. Going round in circles. 38 years this guy has been sat on this mat. 38 years, and every time the water is stirred, he is the very last to get wet. You just give up, wouldn't you? Blow it. Stuff it. I don't know what you'd do. I mean, presumably he can't go home because he's been chucked out of being home. Hope goes, doesn't it? Vibrancy goes, colour goes out of our life when the world battles us. Remember the story of Job. His life goes south. Not God's doing, you remember, it's the devil's sin, the fallen world. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to Job. He lost his family, lost his wealth. And his wife and his mates all turn on him, and they turn on his faith as well. The Good News Bible has Job's wife saying this to him: "Are you still as faithful as ever? Why don't you curse God and die?" But Job never gives up hope. Never gives up hope. My, how we need to learn from that today. And this man too, Jesus says, "What are you doing here?" That's the question to him. "Sir, there is no one here to help me." Do you hear the isolation in that? "There's no one here to help me when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else gets in ahead of me." It's amazing how often our own strength isn't enough, isn't it? First come, first serve, and I'm always the back of the queue. Do you hear that lack of hope? I used to visit a guy, I'm going to call him Arthur. He's an alcoholic. He would say that he wanted to get off of his mat of alcoholism, of his mat of whiskey, but he just couldn't actually give up the bottle. The AA say you can't do the same thing and expect different results. And it goes into what psychologists call a cycle of despair, a downward spiral that blinkers us and closes down our horizons, and it can happen so quickly. Life can change so quickly. Another story from my past. So I used to be a police officer. I was serving in Bournemouth. I was out on foot patrol. I don't even know if police officers do foot patrol anymore. They sit in a warm car, don't they? Eating chips and so on. I don't know. Anyway, so I was out. I was actually out policing back in the days when we were out. I mustn't, because SJ's not here, so I'm okay. And 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm down Old Christchurch Road. That's the main town centre road, pedestrianised precinct now in Bournemouth. And an alarm goes off on a shop. And at the back of the shops, of course, is like the back lane, the you know, little thing. So I go down into the alleyway. As I'm going down in the alleyway, the burglar runs across in front of me. He's a few hundred yards ahead of me. He runs down the alleyway. I'm after him. I'm on the radio. I'm shouting for backup and help and all of that. And there's a wooden fence, and he goes through a wooden gate. And I chase after him as fast as I can, and I crash through that wooden gate. And all of a sudden, I'm in a completely different world. Pitch black. Just a little moonlight casting eerie shadows. Piles of earth everywhere. It's like a wasteland. This is in behind the main town centre shops. And there's oil bins there. There's bits of wood, pallets, broken pallets. Also, 1,000 places to hide. 1,000 bits of metal bar to hit me over the head with. You start thinking the worst, don't you? I get on the radio doesn't work. The buildings are cutting out the signal. Alone, threatened, fearful, we're back at Job. Life for you and for me can change so quickly. And yet God is always there. And you remember God turns up with Job and he says to Job, what on earth are you doing? Jesus is the same with this man at the pool. In Christ there is always hope because God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. That's a big deal. Even when we're not for ourselves, even when we give up hope, God still hopes for us. And so my question to you today is, if you're sat on a mat, is God trying to reach you? Have you lost a bit of hope? Is your faith dwindling? Here again today, God wants to lift you off of whatever your mat is. The E of heal is engage with God. Engage with God. It struck me again how many years this guy has been waiting. 38 years. We want answers to our prayers now, don't we? Maybe we'll wait a month, pray a couple of times for something. Maybe we'll even go and pray for a whole year for something. 38 years, you're kidding me. We give up so easily, don't we? Do you know this? And this is just an aside. I think that when there's silence from heaven, when there's no answers coming down, no reply heard, I think it's for a reason. And I've learned to ask the question now, Lord, what are you waiting for me to learn here? We're going to watch a film clip. It's a trailer for a fantastic film. It's called The Monuments Men.
You want to get into the war?
Monuments Men.
Time to put a team together and do our best to protect buildings, bridges, and art before the Nazis destroy everything.
It's a cracking film. It's a true story. Hitler is stealing the West's art and he hides it in the salt mines to go back later to take it all back to Germany and open the best art gallery that there is anywhere in the world. And the heroes find the treasure. How do the heroes find the treasure? They find it by working together. Folks, that's what you and I have got to do with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. We've got to work with him. When we partner with God, we find treasure. And let me tell you that the richest gems are always hidden down the deepest mines in your life and in mine. We just want to skim the surface, don't we? We pray a prayer and we hope to trip over the answer to the prayer in the very same breath. Can't do the same thing and expect different results. Is God waiting for you? Is he waiting for me? I prayed with Arthur. I gave him meals. I tried to keep him sober, but he had to let go of the bottle and he couldn't. And in the end, it killed him. We've got our part to play. And so the A is to accept Christ's offer. Do you want to be healed? Jesus asks. That's a great question. It's a great question because our mats become comfortable places for us. Do you notice Jesus always asks that question? What do you want me to do for you? He said to blind Bartimaeus. I love the story of Exodus, Moses, Israel, coming out of slavery. I read it all the time. There's so much to learn from it. Just the other day I read this. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Why is the Lord bringing us up into a land only for us to fall by the sword? We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. So I look back to Exodus chapter 3. I just wanted to remind myself, why are they on that journey? It says this, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. If you can't do the same thing and expect different results, it means you have to change. And change is such a hard thing for us to do. Israel preferred the mat of slavery to the long, hard walk to freedom. Mats can become comfortable. We begin to like how they feel after a while. Two great things in this story. The first is Jesus asked this guy to get up and walk. That's impossible. This guy has not walked for 38 years. What's the learning there for you and for me? I think it's this, the offer of Jesus that Jesus makes to you right here, right now, right today, is not a natural offer. It's a supernatural offer. We go to Jesus when we can't find the answer anywhere else, don't we? The woman with the issue of blood spent all her money on doctors, 12 years chasing around, trying to cure herself. Eventually, she says to herself, if I only were to touch his cloak. Maybe if I do something that sounds to be so stupid, maybe if I trust Jesus, maybe if I reach out. Do you remember at the end of the gospel, in John's gospel, when Jesus is talking to Thomas, and he said, because you were able to touch me, you believe. Blessed are those who cannot see me and yet still have the same faith. And for the woman, of course, life went well straight away. She was healed there and then. For some, it takes longer. You would think for this guy, there are good things in his life straight away. 38 years he's been on a mat. All of a sudden, he's up and walking. You'd think life is going to be good. He gets healed. Walks his first steps that he's ever walked. Can you imagine that? If you've ever had a dog and taken it for a walk up a park, let it off the lead, woof, it's gone. It loves the freedom. It's bouncing, it's jumping, it's chasing. This guy is jumping because he's never jumped before. What happens? He gets nicked. Carrying your mat on a Sabbath. We'll have you for that. He says, yeah, but I'm healed. Healed? He said, you've been healed on a Sabbath. We'll have you for that as well. It's not easy. Life just wants to keep knocking us down. But friends, if we stick with God, then the last thing will be true. The L is for live life to the full. All of a sudden, the guy becomes the son that his parents had never really had before. Instead of being a disgrace to them, he gets welcomed into their family where he should have been all along. They exchange birthday cards. They eat together. They go out. He kicks a football with his mates. Finds a girl to settle down with. The mats that we sit on prevent us from living the life that we are supposed to be living. The life that God designed for us. They rob us of our relationships, of our value as people. They rob us of the joy of life. Christ came to restore all of that. I have come so that you might have life to the full. That's the promise of God. That's the reason for Jesus. You know, in all the stories we read of Jesus turning people's lives around, there's some sort of physical response. That's important. The guy's got to pick up his mat and walk away. And it's meaningful to God when we do that. I don't know why. But it is, in private, in public. Just the other day, I'm having my quiet time in our lean-to. I felt God say to me, I want you to get on your knees. There's a response from us. There's an action required. Put it on your list of questions to ask him when you get to heaven. Why is it important, Lord, that we do something to show our love and our faith? I don't know, but God loves it when we respond physically to him. We're going to have an opportunity to do that here this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. And the worship team are going to play a song. And I'm going to ask Christine, is she still here? Yeah, bless her. She's not feeling well herself. We prayed for her the other day in the staff room. I'm going to ask Christine to come up and cheek her. And we're going to be at the front here, and we're going to be willing to pray for people. If you want to be prayed for, if you're on a mat, if God is speaking to you today, physical, emotional, relational, whatever it is, then just come up, and we're just off to the side here, and we will pray for you this morning. God wants to get us off of our mats. He wants us to live life to the full. We spoke about it at the 9 o'clock service this morning. He doesn't make a bridge over troubled water. Just because we're a Christian, he doesn't take us out of the world. But he does give us the strength to get through the troubled waters. He journeys with us in miraculous and wonderful ways. If you want some of that journey today, come on up and be prayed for. I'm just going to say a prayer and then we'll go into the worship and then, as I say, come on up. Lord Heavenly Father, you know the mats that we're sat on. You know where we are in life. There is no pretense. There's no masking it with you. You see our hearts. You see our joys, our fears, our hopes, our dreams. You see the failures that break us, the hurts that wound us. Lord, we reach out to you again today. Come and be our healer. Strengthen us. Would you restore the years the locusts have eaten? Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, relational, would you come, Lord? You want nothing but the best for us. Help us to reach out. Help us to engage with you. Help us to act on your word. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And bless us with your healing hand today. Amen.